1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes, giving you my expert political analysis of what potentially is to come. We had a hotly contested and heavily financed primary contest in the state of Michigan, where Abdul El Sayed did defeat Congressional Representative Haley Stevens. Haley Stevens, a much more moderate centrist establishment Democratic candidate, if you will, was defeated just barely. There are still some votes to count. I think there's still 6,000 votes to be sorted through out of Wayne County, but El Sayed's lead is about 14,900. And even if Representative Stevens gets all of those uncounted votes, it simply will not be enough. And then El Sayed will face off against Republican Mike Rogers in November. And I don't believe that Democrats are ready for how far and how low Republicans are willing to go to disavow anyone who is not just a Democrat, not just a progressive, but someone who has democratic socialist leanings. And it's going to be exceptionally easy for them to make that case, not just to other Republicans, but to some independents and some moderates. They're going to spend a tremendous amount of money. Here's an example. In 2024, it was found that African-American men were very much against trans people, trans rights, men using women's bathrooms, and boys competing in girls' sports. It was found that of all the demographic groups in this country, African-American men were the most opposed to anything related to trans rights. And so the Trump campaign spent $30 million to push anti-trans propaganda specifically to black men. Here's what a lot of folks may not know about modern political campaigning. Most of you get your information from a device. You're on a computer, you're on your cell phone. Your internet connection has a very specific number, basically an address that is attributable to you. It is your IP address. You can be identified by your IP address, and through your IP address and your social media activity, we can target ads to you and you specifically, meaning you may be in a household of five people. Some in your household are Republicans. Some are independents. Some are centrists, some are establishment, some are democratic socialists, and some might even be communists in your household. And there will be an election that is coming up. Each of you will see different ads because the ads that you see are custom tailored to who you are and where your political sensitivities lie. So if you know that there is a particular demographic group that is anti-trans or is anti-data center, you can target them specifically with ads. And here's what I will say about the Republicans. The Trump campaign in 2016 perfected micro-targeting. Now, they also got some help from Russia, but they were able to micro-target. In fact, during the summer of 2016, the images, the negative images that were blasted into the black community about Hillary Clinton actually suppressed the vote. And it worked. And we haven't seen anything like what we are going to see in November. And I could be wrong. I could be. But I am using the steady prologue of history as my guide because we literally have been here before. 2016, Bernie Sanders. 2020, Bernie Sanders gets in again. He was like, I better step out. I better step back because only an establishment moderate like Joe Biden can beat Donald Trump, and lo and behold, it worked. Let's talk to Israel. You're on 101.7 The Truth.
So, yeah, after our conversation, I did some research and everything. And the more I find out, the more, you know, I get more interested in these things. I was thinking about something with identity and then demographic and everything like that. Francesca Hong, and, like, I was somewhere, and this person said, you know, she could step down so, you know, Crowley can get the spotlight. And I'm like, you know, that's a whole nother can of worms, like, you know, reverse racism or whatever like that, her being, you know, ethnic woman with a lighter complexion and everything. And I'm really, my heart kind of went out for her because it was like, you know, she has issues like fitting in and she's just trying to, you know, I know, like, she can identify whatever, like, you know, I wish the best for her, but it's just like, in her situation, and concerns and everything, like, you know, everybody's kind of worried about being abandoned and everything once, like, you know, politicians get in and everything like that. But with the way things are going right now, what is the best place call? Because you said something crazy about how, like, either pro-trans or, I won't say pro-trans or pro-black or something like that, but it's like, you know, it's kind of strange like that with the issues of homophobia in the black community and the issues with acceptance and everything, plus the issue of communication and lashing out, too. So there's a lot of confused and mixed emotions out there right now. But I'm like, you know, I was somewhere this weekend and brat season, but it was just like, you know, I felt bad because I couldn't get in somewhere because I had a criminal record. That made me feel terrible. Like, so
where,
you know,
where did you try to get in and they didn't let you in because of your record? And how did they know you had a record?
They C-capped at the door.
Who C-capped? Like, where were you trying to go?
Not to sound like an extremist or anything, but like, like you know, even if like you know, we can make things function. Like you know, can we actually like share?
Hang
this
on, Israel. You know? Where were you? Where you got C-capped at the door?
Yeah.
No, not yeah. Where'd you go? Where'd you try to go?
Oh, it was some I don't know. I think I'm not even sure. I'm not sure if it was a rally or a meeting or something like that.
Meeting for who?
I don't know, some guy, I forgot his name. I know I was, for some reason, I was just jealous though, because I couldn't get in. And
you went to a rally for some guy, but didn't know who the guy is, and they C-capped you at the door, and they didn't let you in. So they made you stand there while you gave them your name and your date of birth, and they C-capped you on a computer and said, no, you can't come in?
Yeah.
Did you try to go to the Francesca Hong rally in South Milwaukee?
Was that Francesca Hong's rally? I know, there was a few other people there, but I don't know. I was just trying to get a more in-depth look at it.
Where were you? Do you remember where you went? Did you have to take a bus to get there? And if you took a bus, what bus did you take, or did you walk?
I remember taking a bus and walking a little bit.
Okay.
That's not important, right?
Did you say, this is very important. This is the most important thing I've talked about all day. So you got on a bus, but you weren't really sure where you were going or what was going to be featured at the place that you were going to, but you knew enough about it that you wanted to go, but they wouldn't let you in, but you don't really remember what the event was about?
You know, I was originally a clown for the children, but if that's how I can help, I'd be happy to be your fool. Yeah.
Okay, that's... All right, now. I know he didn't just hang up on me.
The cap is heavy.
Well, let's continue on our streak. Let's... Hello, Bob.
Hello, Sherwin. You know, you made two statements.
Hold on, Bob. What can we do about... Are you on speakerphone? You're too loud. Go back away from the phone. Do something different.
Okay.
That's much better. Right there. Right there. Go ahead.
We need to lose. We don't need to lose, Sherwin. And how low do we go? Man, we stopped that man from going as low as he could have in many ways. You know, and we won with Biden and Evers. And we will continue to win, shall we? I hope. I'm voting for who you say vote for.
Bob, stop. I don't like when you say that. Because that's not you taking responsibility for your choices. Like, you have what your ideas of what you want to see. Your vote should be guided by you, not me. Don't do that. Bob, you could be my father. You shouldn't be taking political advice from somebody that can be your child. That's backwards. You should be telling me who to vote for. Tell you what, why don't we do this? Sure. Bob, who should I vote for?
Sure, when I would take advice from whoever I feel like it.
And that's the damn problem. You probably taking advice from Israel, and he don't even know where he was at.
Now, listen.
Bob, who should I vote for? You're an elder, and I respect the elders. Please, elder, guide me. I'm young. I know not what I do. Who should I vote for?
No, I don't know. I don't know enough about these people. You do. You seem to be real into politics so much that is, and you have a talent,
Bob, you have life experience. Your life experience it far outpaces really anything that I can offer. So with that being said, with your life experience, Bob, who should I vote for?
Now, why are you deciding to give me cake today? You normally give me castor oil. Now, listen, what I don't understand about these democratic socialists, they say no prison. I don't believe that, if they believe it. Where are people going to go if there's no prison and there's no police? What are they talking about? That's what I don't agree with, but I would still vote for one because it would never get that far. We will always have prison and police, no matter what they say. Just like when Obama didn't agree with, gay people. I don't mean to say it derogatorily. And then
that's not derogatory. That's, in fact, say it again. You don't agree with who?
Well, no. Why do you want me to say it twice and I feel it's derogatory?
It's not derogatory. Say it one more time for the culture. What kind of people did Obama not agree with? I need
When I see two men kissing on TV, I turn. And, I can't take it. You know what I mean? And just like when, they have this man farting on TV. What kind of people do that? What a lousy commercial. I mean, they have people. I managed to turn it because they don't have it, but a little bit, one time or something, and they give you a warning. But they fart right on in the beginning, and I don't have time to turn. Boy, that aggravates me. Had that on TV. It's a lousy commercial. We didn't have that when we was coming up. And so what I just don't understand, Cheryl, is no prison and no police. And I just ignore that because that'll never happen. And I would vote for the socialists because I don't believe people will ever have no prisons and no commercials.
Okay. And, you actually made a lot of sense there, Bob.
All right, Sherwin. You're being pretty nice today. I don't trust you. I'll talk to you later, sir.
Okay, have a good day. Oh, this just keeps getting better. That was good. Farting and gay men kissing? All in one commercial? What product was that? That was just... Come on, let's keep it going. Let's do it. Linda, you're on 101.7 The Truth. Don't disappoint me now. Come on with it.
Good morning, America, and to all the good people of Milwaukee. Sharon, I just want to say that there's something that seems to be overlooked and unaddressed here. It's just, slightly, brushed over. And like I said last night in your Hughes Views 414, is that we have to set a step with all due respect to our alphabet community who has stepped out proudly and rightfully so and have always been in the closet. But we have to set a standard. We have to set a standard. They were always in the closet for a reason. So all I'm saying is for those who, you know, do not embrace the homosexuality community, we as Americans and as a democratic society have to set a standard. We are not setting a political, social standard for the alphabet community that is acceptable. And the other thing that I wanted to say is, This is a time that proud Black people can assert our agenda politically, for real. And I think that we need to, as much as we want to embrace Crowley, we really need to really help his campaign by asserting our political agenda instead of tearing it down and being negative. For real, for real. Because you're just giving the opponents something for their ad. For real. I'm just saying.
You got six have days, Linda. Day. All right. Have a good day, too. All right. Then.
Okay.
First of all, in the United States of America, nobody has to embrace anybody. You can leave people alone. You can mind your business. You can focus on yourself, your family, your community, your job, your future, and that of your children. But you ain't got to embrace nothing. Let me also throw this in here since we're talking about singing Kumbaya. America ain't even embraced Black people, but yet we supposed to embrace somebody else. No thanks. How about this? Y'all go first. Y'all embrace us first, and then we'll talk about embracing you later. But you got to show us. David has admitted it's too late. He admitted it. And we know that it is. If we were that interested and enthused as Black people about David Crowley and his prospects for becoming governor, we would have been on board and been solid since last September. But here we go 6 days later, or 6 days rather, until the election. Now all of a sudden. These are real valuable lessons that are going to be learned. Campaigns are grueling. They are every second of every day for a prescribed amount of time. You can't sit back and chill. You can't have a third of the electorate undecided, then all of a sudden realize, oh, I better come into the fold. You should have been there from the absolute beginning, and people weren't for whatever reason. But there was one candidate that spent every moment of every single day campaigning her ass off everywhere, all of the time, all at once. David didn't run a good campaign. It's okay to say that. I know Black folks get real sensitive because we don't like criticism. We better learn how to take it. Because the next campaign that we have for higher office cannot be like this one. We have to have a higher standard. I agree with Linda in that respect, but I agree with her with a different set of circumstances. We just get happy because somebody Black is running. We have to have a standard for how well their campaign is run and the mechanics of their campaign. Here's the other thing. Black folks will want a whole bunch of stuff out of a political candidate and won't give them a penny. Won't donate a single dime. Now, the Republicans have their back against the wall because Donald Trump is not really giving Republicans anything to run on. But I tell you this, the RNC is very prepared. They got about $128 million. They probably have more than that. But also, please keep this in mind. Their money is coming from the boomers and rich people. Now, Francesca Hong is going to need a lot of money. She's going to need a ton. She's going to need a lot more than she raised during the primary. Where do you think her money is going to come from? Democratic socialist supporters are broke. Her money is going to have to come from establishment Dems. Yeah, that's right. Centrist Dems. You know, the same people that her supporters are calling the enemy. That's who has the money, and that's where her fundraising is going to have to come from. But I believe that her, not her, but her supporters are shooting her campaign in the foot with their disrespect. So we'll just wait and see what happens, because she's going to need millions. Millions. And one of the reasons why she is so successful with a certain cohort of people is because their wages are too low and they're unemployed and they're drowning in debt and they can't afford their rent and they can't afford to pay for food. They can't afford to pay for gas. They can't afford to pay for their utilities. They really are financially strapped, but they better use every damn penny they have to support Francesca Home, because the people that actually have the money that are a part of the Democratic establishment, that's where the money's going to have to come from if she's going to. She's going to be successful. But again, the Democratic Socialist supporters, they don't see that far ahead, that the very people that you are disrespecting are the ones that are going to have to write the checks. So I'm just going to chill. We'll just talk. You know what I should do? I should just talk about the weather for the next 6 days. I think it's supposed to have a little rain today. A little bit of rain. Not a lot of rain. Just a little bit of rain. Well, the grass needs it. It needs it. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Prosperity 555 says she hangs around with Hassan Piker, who is a millionaire, so she will end up getting money. There are a lot of rich socialists now. Is there enough, though? And they got a lot of races they got to spread their money around. Got to keep in mind, the DSA is only 120,000 members nationwide. I thought it was bigger. That's not really a lot of members. And those are dues-paying members. The affiliation might be larger, but there's only 120,000 people that are paid members. And I don't know what they do with their money. I don't know if they have a political action committee. I'm assuming they probably do. But there's a whole bunch of candidates running for the House, running for the U.S. Senate. I don't know how many gubernatorial elections in which they have a far-left progressive or a Democratic socialist on the ballot, but they're going to need a tremendous amount of money. And in the Democratic Party, money comes from special interests, which I know that Democratic socialists, they disavow themselves from some of those special interests. Like, they may not want to take any Mark Zuckerberg money or any Jeff Bezos money, and that's good if you stand on principle. But the Republicans take all the money. They take it all. Now, you can win in a primary election by being at a financial disadvantage. You can win. Sometimes your opponent will outspend you in a primary election, but primary elections are different. They are ruled by ideology, not necessarily ruled by money. Money has a much more profound impact on politics in a general election because the core of the voters are very, very different. In fact, because primaries are ruled by ideology and by a cult of personality, if the opponent in said primary contest is heavily funded, they're getting a lot of political action committee money, they're getting a lot of special interest money, they're getting a lot of We Energies money, the person running against the well-funded establishment corporate money opponent, that strengthens the resolve of their opponent, because they can say, look at them taking all that corporate money. Because remember, on the very far left, big corporations that have a lot of money and contribute to political campaigns are the enemy. We want to tax those big corporations. In fact, we want to tax them out of existence. And those very wealthy people that are mega donors to campaigns, again, they are the enemy. They are, in fact, the scapegoat for everything that's wrong with America. So if you have a primary with one candidate who is really grassroots and they're not getting a whole bunch of corporate money, that makes them even more attractive to voters. And so when you have primaries that are going to see 20, 25%, 30% voter turnout, that grassroots support is very strong, because there are people that will go and vote for a very liberal candidate, a progressive candidate, because they're not being funded by these big fat cat corporations. But when you get to the general election, it's a different ball game. Speaking of ball games, I don't know why I'm using sports analogies. The only sports I really follow is Bucks basketball and the Green Bay Packers. And where they're not playing, I don't care. The World Cup came. I don't even know what happened. There's hockey. They play. I don't know when hockey plays. I went to one Admirals game once in the 1990s. They ain't been back since. Baseball. Baseball is too often. You won't even get a chance to miss baseball because baseball is on. Sometimes, do they still do doubleheaders where they play two 9-inning games back-to-back? Who wants to sit and the score will be 1-0? 12 hours later, one run was scored. That's so to use a sports analogy. If you win your first playoff game against a team that was only playing their bench, some people think, oh, we're going to win the championship. We're going to win the Super Bowl. We won a playoff game. Look how we won it by a lot, or maybe we didn't win it by a lot, but look at us. We won one single playoff game. We're going to win the whole championship, but then you have people popping bottles of champagne when you've only won a single playoff game. But then when you get to the championship, you realize the team you're playing, they're not playing their bench. They're not playing their second team or their third string. They're playing their superstars. The Republicans are putting their superstars in the race with a whole bunch of money. And do not underestimate the fact that Donald Trump and his Department of Justice will cheat. That's a whole factor that we haven't even considered. And I think they've been testing the waters of how they can cheat by going and intimidating election workers, including right here in Milwaukee County. You had federal agents show up at the homes of election officials right here in Milwaukee County. There's a whole bunch of variables that we haven't accounted for. Now, I said earlier that the Democrats need to lose, and I say that because, first of all, elections are going to go on forever. They are. And every election is not the most important election of our lifetime. You know what the most important election of our lifetime is? The next one. There needs to be some kind of alignment amongst these different factions of the Democratic Party. And African-American issues, we will have to learn, need to be a part of that. It doesn't have to be the whole thing, but there has to be a place where African-Americans can fit comfortably within the Democratic Party, because it is very easy for us to sit out and not vote at all. If there are reasons, if there are policy reasons or even personality reasons for us to get involved in an election, we will. But the reason has to be compelling. The campaign has to be real. It's got to be honest. It's got to be exciting. It has to be a movement. It also has to not just deliver, but show how these candidates have delivered in the past. Very, very tough for a seasoned African-American voter to just take a shot on somebody new. But Obama was different. But the world was different. There's two worlds, I think. And when the long view of history is written, I think the world will be divided into two separate eras. Pre-COVID and post-COVID, because I don't know what happened to the world. COVID messed y'all up. COVID went into, something happened. Was it the vaccines? Maybe that's what the side effect is. We have lost our ever-loving minds. Nothing is normal anymore. Nothing. So post-COVID and pre-COVID, two totally different worlds. Pre-COVID, remember 2019? Oh, I remember like it was yesterday. People were dancing. People would just take off their shirts and just, I don't care, I'm just going to walk around with my nipples out. Everybody was happy. Even though Trump was bad, but like, whatever, he's an idiot. He's only going to be here for one term. 2019, everybody was just like, let's go out to eat. Let's go eat some shrimp. 2019, we were going to Red Lobster. You guys want to go to Olive Garden? I'll drive. It's 2019. Why not? salad and breadsticks. People were going to Noah's Ark. They were going to the Dells. People were just living it up. Then COVID came. Then George Floyd. Then 2024 comes and Trump gets reelected. So pre-COVID and pre-Trump are two different universes. And in this new universe, everything is different. Everything is fragmented. Everything is separate. Everything is more, people are more angry and they're more sensitive and they're more ideological. This ain't going to work. You're going to have to come back to where we were in 2019. Maybe we just need to have a come to Jesus meeting, but don't do it in a damn church because church people gossip too much. Let's do it at the Olive Garden. Everybody loves the Olive Garden. No, it's not real, authentic Italian food. It's not supposed to be. Taco Bell is not supposed to be authentic Mexican food. Taco Bell is its own entity of cuisine. So stop saying, oh, I don't eat Taco Bell because it's not real Mexican food. It's not supposed to be, you goofy. I heard they're bringing back Mexi Melts. Don't tease me. Don't do that to me. Remember how people used to camp out when it was like Black Friday? Remember that? People would get a tent and they camp out in front of the Best Buy to buy a flat screen TV. Now flat screen TVs are $70. Remember that a long time ago? People, oh, it's Black Friday. I'm not going to have Thanksgiving dinner. I'm going to have my family bring me Thanksgiving dinner to my tent while I camp out at Best Buy. Remember that? How insane. That was crazy. If they bring back the Mexi Melt, I ain't going to be here on the radio for a few days, y'all. I'm going to tell you right now, I ain't. Y'all going to hear recorded shows. I'll be out there in the parking lot of a Taco Bell wearing a sombrero and a poncho. You think I'm playing? So we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting. Maybe I shouldn't even say Jesus. A coming together meeting at a Taco Bell or at an Olive Garden, and we're just going to figure out our differences so we can move forward with decency and respect. Okay. Take a break. Come back. Finish reading my David Crowley story. And also, what is this here? I got some information about the Democratic Socialists. Because, I mean, they might win. They might win. And then you're going to have to get on board with them. And then next election cycle, we'll just have full-on communism. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Homer Blow and Bailey Coleman, powered by We Energies, delivering energy that powers local business. So I was just going on and on and on about just how weird the world is. Everything is just shifting to the more unorthodox, right? How do you guys feel about OnlyFans? Now, OnlyFans didn't start off being what it is. It's a place where you can get all sorts of content. Like, OnlyFans pages started off as if you were really into cooking, you could set up an OnlyFans page and you could share your recipes and post little videos of you preparing meals, like quick little meals or little $5 meals. It started off as very, very innocent and mostly benign, and nobody even really cared much about OnlyFans because it was just another new social media outlet. Oh, big deal, it's OnlyFans. It didn't really start becoming notable and notorious until somebody read the fine print and saw that OnlyFans allows content creation of essentially any kind. Now, you have to be an adult and you got to verify your age and all of that. But once you do that, you can post all sorts of things, including the X-rated. And OnlyFans is, I'd say it's probably very popular. And I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I'll bet you in the last couple of years, especially during COVID, it was probably a very high grossing social media application. Xavier, can we put up a poll? I want to ask people how they feel about OnlyFans. I want to make it very, very simple. Do you think that OnlyFans is a good thing or a bad thing? Is it something that should, is it okay that OnlyFans gives people, I guess, a way into entrepreneurship where you can post very explicit content? Quite honestly, pornography. Does OnlyFans have a negative connotation to you? Is it bad? People should not be doing it. It's awful. They shouldn't be exploiting themselves. Are you one of those people that believe, oh, if you post something on the internet, it's there forever and you may regret it? Or do you see it as a way in which people can make their own decisions and achieve some kind of financial freedom because you can charge people to view these images? It also should be known that, let's say you sign up for a content creator's OnlyFans, and let's say it's not even anything that is X-rated. It could be a cooking OnlyFans page where they're sharing recipes. And let's say it's $9.99 a month to subscribe to this particular content creator that makes really delicious quick meals. You can screenshot all of those recipes and then upload it to Reddit or put it on your Facebook page or put it on your X account, where all of the world can see. Even though you pay $9.99 for that 1 month membership, you pay for the membership, you have access to all of those recipes and all of those videos. You can download the videos, you can screenshot the recipes, and then you can just share them with people that did not sign up for that content creator's only fan page. So you can sign up for $9.99, immediately cancel your account so you won't get rebilled the next month. Take all of the content off of there and share it on free sites. That also has happened with people who are sharing explicit images and videos of themselves. One person signs up for $9.99 a month. They take screenshots of all of the photos, and then they share those photos freely by dumping them out on the open internet. Do we have the poll up, Xavier? I'm just very curious. Do you think OnlyFans is... That's a real simple question. Now, we'll roll with it. Do you think OnlyFans is a good thing? Or better yet, are you judgmental of a person that has an OnlyFans account? Do you, an explicit one, not a cooking recipe OnlyFans, not one of those. A naughty, bad one, bad, dirty. They do dirty things. Naughty, naughty, naughty. Do you think less of those people that showcase explicit content on the internet? Do you think that the offering of, I guess, pornographic images and videos via OnlyFans is appropriate? Do you judge those people in a negative way? And we don't know the reasons behind why people start those accounts. Maybe it's to make money. Maybe it's to make ends meet. Maybe they've got children to feed. Maybe they've got a drug habit they need to finance. We don't know why, because they don't have to tell us why they started an OnlyFans account. But do you think less of a person? Do you take them less seriously if they have an OnlyFans account? If you are an employer and you're hiring for, I don't know, an HR position maybe or a management position, and you want a good candidate, right, someone that can, you know, provide, be a good asset to the company and help the company make money and be profitable, but they also need to be a good representation of whatever your company is. Maybe it's an insurance company. Maybe it's a bank. And you're an employer, and you work in HR, and it is your job to make sure that you are hiring the best people that are of sound mind, work ethic, and reputation. And if you knew that a potential finalist had an OnlyFans, and it was a very dirty one, naughty, 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 would you maybe think twice? Or would you use that as a strike against that potential employee? Would you pass them up? Because, you know, if other people found out, if people on the corporate board of that bank or that company that you were hiring for found out that you just hired somebody with a dirty, dirty, naughty, naughty, naughty OnlyFans, would you still do it? Now, I know how some men may think about this, but men's opinions when it comes to things like OnlyFans are not the only opinions that count. And there are some women that may find it distasteful that other women are exploiting themselves and their bodies to make money. So we're asking you on the YouTube, do you think OnlyFans is a good thing? I feel like that question is kind of loaded, but we'll see. Right now it appears to be it's 62% to 38%, but only a few people have answered. So why don't we do this? Go to YouTube, search 1017 The Truth, hit subscribe, and then answer our YouTube poll question. Do you think OnlyFans is a good thing? Okay, simple yes or no. Right now, 62% of you say that OnlyFans is not a good thing. What do you think about the people that have OnlyFans accounts? Would you hire them in a corporate environment that is very sterile and very conservative? Does someone's OnlyFans account, and let's say it's still up, okay? Maybe it's paused, but it's still up. All the content is still there. Is that a strike against that person? What say you? I'm going to take a break, come back, and I got something I want to share with you about an OnlyFans account. You're listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. I'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Welcome back to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. We put a poll up on YouTube, and we're just trying to get a sentiment. I know the people who listen to this program are probably very, very open about a lot of things, because boy, oh boy, do we talk about a variety of different subjects on this program. And I appreciate that we don't have to stay stuck in... Holy smokes. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm a little a little distracted. So we asked the question on YouTube. Do you think OnlyFans is a good thing? Well, look at this. The results. See, the wisdom of crowds. When more people vote, the numbers can change pretty decisively. 58% of you say OnlyFans is a good thing. 42% of you say that OnlyFans is a bad thing. Holy smokes. So I've come to find out that Francesca Hong has a communications director who not only has an OnlyFans page, It's It's free to subscribe. I'm just doing research. That's all. I'm not judging this lady. I'm not judging her on her OnlyFans account. But does that... Oh, look, you even get a welcome message when you subscribe. It says, welcome to my OnlyFans. It means so much to have you here. I'm so excited to have a more private platform where I can share more of myself with my top fans and get to know you better. Be sure to check your inbox for more exclusive updates from me. You can also send me a DM and say hello whenever you like. That's actually very nice. And it says, I'm so looking forward to sharing my world with you. Thank you for subscribing. So that's... Holy smokes. So to most of us, it's not that big of a deal. It isn't. It's not. But I think that the Republicans are probably going to weaponize this some kind of way. And I know what some of you are saying. Oh, the Republicans are a bunch of old dirty perverts, too. They are. However, if you cannot link direct dirty pervert stuff to the Republicans that are currently running in this midterm election cycle right now in the state of Wisconsin, if all of them are squeaky clean and married and have kids and there's no evidence of adultery or any of that stuff, I think that it shows a contrast that I don't know if the Democrats are prepared to have to deal with. And probably no big deal at all, but I'm just curious as to what you all think about someone having an OnlyFans. Can they be taken seriously? Can they be a legitimate employee of a corporate endeavor, any other kind of business endeavor, if there are naked pictures of them that are on the internet? And because the world is changing and people are much more acceptable of things, it may not be that big of a deal at all. In a world where we're always playing gotcha with politics, you're always looking for some kind of scandal, you're always looking for some kind of immorality, and it can be used, it can be. Now, it works better with some people versus others. There are some people that can totally get away with scandal and get away with immorality, but I think at the end of the day, we want relatively scandal-free people who are the stewards and stewardesses of our tax dollars and those that are making policy on our behalf, because nobody likes corruption. And if you have moral shortcomings, then people may say, hey, I don't like the fact that you have moral shortcomings. I don't want to support you because you don't represent me, my family, and my family values. So it's less about, in my opinion, it's less about a political party and some of the proclivities they may have. It's more about the people in the state of Wisconsin or the people of the United States and who they want to represent them. And a lot of times people vote for people that are better than them. I want to vote for someone who is smarter than me, who pays attention to detail better than me, who is highly educated, like an Ivy League education in law and in policy making and in political science. I want someone way smarter than me that can better understand the details and the fine print that I might just gloss right over. But that's me. I don't want somebody who I just was a fun person to go fishing with. No. I want an upstanding citizen that is of good, strong, moral character, because I believe that those folks have sharpened their iron and can be very good leaders. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for hour three.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.